Welcome to a collaborative response to a community issue, a conversation with Charles County's partner agencies on what they're doing to address the issue of substance use in Charles County. It's a pleasure to be joined today by three amazing leaders in our county who do what they can to keep Charles County a safe and wonderful place to live and raise a family. Joining us today are Dr. Diana Abney, the health officer for Charles County Health Department, Sheriff Troy Berry, the sheriff for the Charles County Sheriff's Office, and Dr. Maria Navarro, the superintendent of Charles County Public Schools. I'm Doria Fleischer, your Community Engagement Coordinator for Charles County Government. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
It is a pleasure to sit in this space with you, even to talk about a difficult conversation. I'm a firm believer that if we don't talk about hard things, they don't get better, and that the best we can do for our community is provide education and resources and enlightenment. So thank you. I'd like to start by asking you each to just do an introduction of yourselves, who you are, and what you do to support our county. Dr. Abney, do you mind going first?
Sure. I'm Diana Abney. I am a local pediatrician for 30 years, and I ran the health department and came back after an illness to run the health department again. I like to tell people that I love this county, and I live in Charles County, but I sleep in Prince George's County.
And you're here a lot.
I am here a lot.
Well, thank you for being here today. Sheriff Berry.
I'm Sheriff Troy Berry with Charles County Sheriff's Office. I had the distinct privilege of serving this community in the law enforcement capacity going on 31 years. And it is just an honor and a privilege to be here to have a conversation in reference to bringing our citizens aware in reference to drugs and youth-related incidents in that community.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Dr. Navarro.
So hello, my name is Maria Navarro. I am the proud superintendent of our wonderful public school system. We have close to 28,000 students. This is my third year here in the county, and I very much love being a community member, a resident of the county, and then educating the youth of our county.
Thank you so much. So you all touch all of our residents in so many ways, and I'm sure there's overlap of all of the people that make it to each of your organizations. When we talk about substance use and substance use disorder here in Charles County, tell us, please, about how it's affecting the people that you serve, from our youngest to all ages. Dr. Abney, how is substance use affecting the health department and its people?
Well, it's affecting us in quite a few ways. For one thing, we have a substance use disorder treatment program. So we actually see people and we treat them. Sometimes when people are involved in substance use disorder, they may lose their jobs or their insurance. And we're there to provide them with medical assistance. We're also there to provide dental care and some medical care for people who may not have their own private doctor to go to. We provide a lot of education around many things, but substance use is one of the things that we provide education for people. So we touch it in a lot of ways. When children are born affected by substance use, we actually have programs that go out into the home and help with teaching the parents how to take care of those children and even providing things that the children may not have because of the substance use disorder in the family. So we kind of wrap services around the entire family. We have classes for family members who are affected by substance use disorder.
And I think it's interesting because if I'm understanding correctly, what I hear you saying is that there's the range that if you are, there's preventative, we want to keep you healthy,
correct,
mentally, physically, all the things. If you're struggling, we've got services for you.
Exactly.
And if you're supporting somebody who's struggling, we've got services for you.
That's right.
Sheriff Berry, how has substance use and substance use disorder affected the sheriff's office?
I would say significantly. There are three major issues that bring people into the scope of law enforcement. There is mental health issues that we see and try to address on the front lines in reference to criminal activity in our community. There's violence, specifically in reference to handgun violence. And the overlapping issue between both of those is substance abuse. Mm. We see on the front lines where people are dealing with mental health crisis, and unfortunately, they're choosing to self-medicate with illicit drugs. And in reference to the violence piece or weapons in our communities, people who are on drugs make very poor choices, and they find themselves interacting with law enforcement. Mm. So it does play a significant role. So unfortunately, it's three issues: substance abuse, mental health issues, and trying to address violence in our community.
And they can be separate, but they also so frequently, it sounds like you find are tied together, that to just say we're handling the violence is not accurate, because to handle the violence without also addressing the issues of mental health or addressing the issues of substance use wouldn't be at all productive. Is that an accurate
statement?
Would not
be, but it definitely has some overlapping.
Right. Thank you. Dr. Navarro, how is substance use and substance use disorder affecting your Charles County Public Schools community?
Well, you know, I work very closely with both Dr. Abney and Sheriff Barry on this awareness piece for our community. For our students, the reality is if there's more drugs available in the home, we see it in schools. Mm. And it is heartbreaking and deeply concerning to me when we see those drugs come in as early as elementary school. Many times students don't know what they don't know. We've had incidents of gummies look-alike that looks like candy come into our schools, kids just being curious. We also have the availability in, again, the home and in other environments, more of that availability to drugs and access for students, and they bring it to school. And so that also can mean access for other students in schools. Mm. I agree with the sheriff also that some of this is young people are inquisitive and curious, and they may experiment. And we've always been concerned about that process and what happens there. And then the other thing is addiction. If there is the tendency to become addicted at an early age, concerns with that. But there's multiple consequences that drug use and abuse impacts for schooling. Obviously, the ability for them to be focused on learning, concentrate, come to school every day, all of those things are impacted. But also, I think there is a mental health component, and I'm so excited that Dr. Abney is here with us today to talk a little bit more about that. I do think we have some youth that are self-medicating as well, as the sheriff mentioning adults. Right. So that impacts the learning environment quite a bit for us.
And when we're using the term self-medicating, I just want to make sure that our viewers and listeners understand, we're saying that somebody who doesn't have access or chooses not to use prescription medications would turn to other substances if they're struggling with their mental health. Is that a fair definition?
That is actually a fair definition. So sometimes people are hurting. Mm-hmm. For example, someone could be very depressed, mm-hmm. and they might turn to alcohol, or they might turn to a substance such as marijuana because it helps them forget that feeling of hurt, mm-hmm. makes them feel better for the moment.
Right.
And the comment you made, Dr. Navarro, about children being inquisitive and about then it affects them different, because we're talking about growing brains. Yes. And a lot of people think, oh, you're 15 or 16 or you're 18, mm-hmm. which could be a person still in school. You have a grown brain. You don't have a grown brain until somewhere between 25 and 30, right. 35 even, depending on how you're handling things. And so what you have is you have a brain that's developing, and you're putting substances that can harm it in there. And in fact, there are studies that show that people who start using drugs, including marijuana, are affected by it. And so their maturation is different, and they are more likely to become addicted to those substances, right. if they start using them younger. And they're also more likely to use them longer if they are using them at a younger age. And unfortunately, I did not bring with you the titles of papers and things, but this is definitely proven.
Right.
And, you know, this is such a pivotal point for me as the educator to hear my local health officer cite the research around the developing brain. Because when I talk to families and we think about the context of what adults have flexibility to do in regards to legalization of certain drugs, that is a different component. And I always double down on the importance of understanding the developing brain and the impact that drugs have on the developing brain. And I think this is such an important message, because many times I've heard even from families casually talking to me about this issue. And it's just a different point of comparison of a young brain, a developing brain, and what they're constantly learning and growing and what that impact is. So I just want to emphasize that that's such an important piece, at least for us in the school system, that we try to emphasize with our families.
No, that makes sense that mm-hmm. this is, it's an issue of development.
Yeah. And I like to make a point too. in reference to the conversation that you see in social media, you see in the community have conversation about marijuana, and it's not a gateway drug to other illicit drugs. That is not true. The statistics have shown that if you introduce alcohol or marijuana, they may transition to harder and harder substances. But over from my area of responsibility, particularly where you're just talking about raw marijuana, we're not seeing just raw marijuana anymore. We're seeing marijuana being laced with other substances, particularly with our young people. So they may purchase something on the streets. It may be laced with fentanyl. There's a resurgence in reference to lacing marijuana and also like PCP. And all of those other things. Fentanyl may be in gummies. So we have to be very cognizant that these other illicit drugs that are in our communities may be laced with other substances, which have a devastating effect on our young people or adults who choose to indulge.
And I hear the fear coming out in each of your voices that this is not just a, gosh, this makes my job a little tough. This is a, we have people who are ingesting or having exposure to fentanyl and not knowing it. We have kids whose brains are not able to develop to full level. We see that at an early age, this has such an impact that this is a community issue that affects our community of all ages.
I know you need to move on, but I need to say one more thing about this.
This is why we're having this conversation.
The first one I want to say is when our partner, Sheriff Barry, was talking, and he was talking about how it affected his organization and what they did in response, he left one very important thing out, because they also do a lot of education, such as the Hope Trailer. And the other things that they do when they speak to children and they speak to schools. So I want to make sure that the public understands that you do a lot of education, because unfortunately, people sometimes have a bad impression of what law enforcement does, and you guys do a lot of very positive things. That's the first thing I want to make sure that everybody understands.
So this is a perfect lead-in, because I'm going to ask what resources your agency has. So now that your spokesperson, Dr. Abney, has spoken up for you, and I love that.
Your new PIO.
I just want to say on a sappy note how beautiful it is that our partner agencies do what Dr. Abney just did. You should hear what the sheriff's office is doing. So Sheriff Barry, what resources does the Charles County Sheriff's Office have? Dr. Abney mentioned the Hope Trailer. Tell us about that. Tell us about what else you're doing to educate and provide resources to our community.
To Dr. Abney's point, we collaborate with a number of organizations like the Health Department, Charles County Public Schools, in reference to educating our young people. In reference to particularly our conversation here today is about drug awareness. Several years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, we went out and put out opiate awareness boards in our community in reference to the overdoses that were happening in our community. Also, the lives that were saved through the partnership that we had with Dr. Abney in reference to implementing our program within the sheriff's office. Our Narcan on naloxone program, which has saved lives with our EMS services here. Talk about a HOPE trailer, which stands for Heroin Opioid Prevention and Education Trailer, which is a trailer designed like a young person's room, which will give community members, particularly parents and guardians, cues or keys that your child may be on substance or using heroin or some other substance, showing them hiding places. Because I can remember distinctively having a conversation where a parent in the community lost their child, and she went through the Hope Trailer and she said, I wish it was available many years ago before I lost my child to an overdose. And what was one of the key significant points was missing of spoons. The person, the young person, was using spoons, cooking the heroin before injecting it into their bodies. So she couldn't figure out why was my, all my spoons were missing, or why were my spoons burnt on one side. So we want to be able to inform, educate the parents about early signs so we can have early intervention. And that's what we try to do as we partner with the health department, with the school system, and other organizations in our community. But we also have the DARE program, in the Charles County Public Schools.
I just saw a picture of Sheriff Barry the other day of a student wearing the DARE t-shirt. And it was the same DARE t-shirt that I wore. So I'm going to, full disclosure, I turned 40 this year. And it was the same DARE t-shirt that I wore when I was in elementary school. And it just, that program has, the longevity of it is amazing. I imagine that most of our community is familiar with the DARE program, but tell us more about it.
The DARE program is letting our young people know about the consequences of engaging in dealing with drugs. And we try to have those conversations with young people. So hopefully, in equipping them with information, so they, when they get to the crossroads of life, we hope that they make a positive decision. Just like the various initiatives that come out through the health department or Charles County Public Schools. So those are just a few things that we do here in the community to engage them, to bring about awareness. And hopefully we can keep our young people and also our adults away from some of the pitfalls of life.
That makes sense. And your school resource unit teaches the DARE program. Wonderful.
Yes,
so one more component of how the schools and the sheriff's office are working together and gives your officers a really great chance to make connections with students, yeah?
Well, not only the students, but lifelong relationships like yourself. Being a part of their program, there I have a chance to go to all segments of the community. And individuals say, I remember they may be our age or older. And they may say, you know, they remember the relationship that they had with the DARE officer. So not only that it helps us as part of awareness piece, but it also fosters a very positive relationship in reference to the community and law enforcement interaction.
That's wonderful. Thank you. All right, Dr. Navarro, what is Charles County Public Schools? What resources education are you providing?
Well, partnering is very important. And it's interesting you mentioned the DARE program. I still remember my kids in fifth grade bringing the materials home of their DARE assignments that they spoke to their SRO about. And one of the things I appreciate is we have to be open and informative with our young people very early on. I really am a big believer that we don't sugarcoat things to them. We present them in a developmentally appropriate way at certain times, but at the elementary level, it is pivotally important that we talk about the drugs that they may become exposed to and what impacts it has on them at that point in time, just like we talk to them with the counseling sessions, the health curriculum that we have into middle and high school. So I am very appreciative of the partnership that we have because they talk about and they name the drugs and they understand what the impacts are. And they're talking to people other than their teachers, right? And so that's important as well, community members. We have expanded community partners that come in and talk to young people about what it means to be to have a dependency and many things that are tied to having a drug dependency and how to get some supports. Our PPWs, who are sort of, if you think they have many jobs, but one of them is sort of a social work component. They work more deeply with families where we may see that abuse is a problem and connect them to resources in the county where we now have to do some outside of the school treatment. But the counselors and the PPWs know that that happens also during the school hours. So in that kind of support. And I would say, you know, we have put out different campaigns of informing families. So you will also see some videos that will be coming out from the school system. The sheriff and Dr. Abney are also going to be part of those conversations. Again, we want to inform families about what's happening. And then one quick plug for the school system that I did want to put out there.
Please.
In terms of services. So we have talked a little bit about the fact that sometimes students are utilizing drugs as a way to self-medicate in some ways to deal with some mental health issues, anxiety, depression. And we thought it would be important for we do a training for our staff, but we thought we should expand that training for our families. And so we started the Youth Mental Health First Aid for Parents training so that they become certified trainers. It's a 2-day training. It's on our website. We published some dates for the fall up until I think we go until November or December. I was privileged enough to seek the permission of the parents that were attending one of the sessions so I could sit in and listen and learn myself. And I found it to be very, very valuable as a parent to understand that there's many things that I can do and learn about behaviors, what to do, what are the lookout signs, and more importantly, that I also have information on then who I can reach out to for supports. And so we're trying to expand that ability and awareness for our parents to not just be informed, but also be able to connect with the agencies that can help them.
I think it's beautiful that you've created programs where students are getting the supports in school and the education in school, but then also families and caregivers in the evenings can come in and get that as well. And I love mental health first aid. I think it's an amazing program. So thank you for making that more accessible to the adults who support the youth in our community. Thank you.
But I'd like to make a point too of the relationship that we have with Charles County Public Schools. I went about 2 years ago, I went to Dr. Abney and presented something to her in reference to about having rep sessions with our high school students. So we're getting ready to start on our third year where we have an initiative where we go in and speak with our student advisory council. And we travel around to all the high schools on a monthly.
He meant to say me. I know. You're saying Dr. yeah. Abney.
No.
Oh, he meant to
me.
Say Dr. Navarro.
Dr. No. Navarro. I will take credit for that.
Yes. You can come and talk with us too, Dr. Navarro. We need your expertise. But with the superintendent, Dr. Navarro, we go around to all the high schools monthly and have a conversation about school safety, about drug awareness, about some of the other issues that the students think that we should know about and have a frank conversation about. And how can we create policies, create safeguards in our school systems to mitigate some of these issues? Because I believe that sometimes as adults, we can see a problem from afar and think it's the best strategy to address. But with the young people, we want to bring them to the table and help us resolve some of these significant issues that are happening in the schools and also in our communities.
Right. No, I think we have to hear it from our youth.
So that slip of the tongue was perfect because as a pediatrician, I would love to join you all.
Absolutely.
So that I think was, we're going to.
That was perfect. And so that's just one way that we all can work together whenever the opportunity presents itself.
I love it. So Dr. Abney, that's your new resource.
That's my new resource that I'm going to join my colleagues in that effort.
Tell us about what else. I know the health department has a plethora of programs and supports, but what resources and education are the most important regarding substance use and substance use disorder?
Probably the most important one is the fact that we're a place that you can get education, not just on drugs, but also much of the same kind of information that you can get from your pediatrician's office, like what can you do to help insulate your children from that? So we have information and we bring this to almost every fair or anything that we go
all
to.
Events.
What can you do to help insulate? How to make your child feel loved and wanted. And not to say parents don't do that, because we all do, but just sometimes in the busy days, we are like rush, 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 rush. So we have little handouts or little cards that say, these are good ways to say how good your child is doing and how much you love them without just saying, I love you, Johnny, but other ways that you can make them feel supported and loved other than just showing up or buying a toy. Things like that. We have information on, you know, again, like the Hope trailer does, signs to look for, something is wrong, be it drugs or something else. And by the way, when he was talking about the help trailer, parents and other adults, because it's for adults only, because we don't want to give people ideas of where to hide stuff.
Absolutely.
And if you've been through the trailer once, it doesn't mean you shouldn't go through again, because we change it. It's not always in the same place. I like going through because every now and then even I find something different that's there. And then, as I said, we go to almost all fairs. We're happy to go to any school and any event to talk about what we know and to share our information with parents, with people in the schools, because we have two departments that is their job, our local behavioral health authority and in addition, our behavioral health program where we have substance use treatment and behavioral health treatment. So we just sort of cover the water with that.
Right. And I love your use of the word insulate, because I think protective factors and talking about how we protect our youth is so important. And I picture each of these layers, that if we can do a great job of helping our families with that first layer of insulation, and then they get to school and the school's wrapped around with another layer of insulation. And within the school, we've got our great school resource officers, and we've got the sheriff's office being able to add that extra layer, and the community has the health department wrapped around. I think that's the way that we're going to be able to make change, right? Is that if we can just keep adding layers of protection and layers of, to use your word, insulation, we can really protect people.
And it's key that people understand, especially in this time with both medical and recreational marijuana being legal, it's key that we teach people new ways to protect their children. I'll give you an example that was brought to me the other day. A person was visiting a friend's house, and the friend's kids brought to them a little baggie, well, a little package. Mm-hmm. It's lavender, had these cute little decorations on it. And this toddler and preschool person, like 5 or 6 years old, so maybe kindergarten or first grade, I can't remember the age, said, "Is this candy? Can we eat this?" Mm-hmm. So even though these parents were using edibles at home, at the very least, they had the wherewithal to teach their children, you don't pick up a bag that looks like candy and just eat it mm-hmm. without asking adults
right.
permission. Mm-hmm. Now, as a pediatrician, would I have rather them pit high where someone couldn't get to them?
Right.
But these children had been taught, you don't just pick up candy and eat it. You ask an adult before you eat it. So that's one of those protective factors, that insulation that we as leaders can teach people who are going to recreationally or medicinally mm-hmm. use marijuana.
That makes sense.
So that's one little thing that we can all, and you out there who are listening to us, can all do to help prevent children getting it. Now, bad side of this story, I'm going to tell you, not with these children. I just spoke at a conference where I talked about a death of a child who had gotten into edibles. Mm-hmm. It was the first one that I found reported in the pediatric literature. This kid had been ill, looked ill at home, came in, quickly went into cardiac arrest, and ultimately could not be resuscitated. Mm-hmm. High levels of THC in urine and in blood. Parents admitted to having used marijuana and having it in the home. And this kid, because this was a little kid, under the age of one, we don't know how much edibles or whatever he ate, but the difference, as we were talking about, you know, dosage is size, weight,
right. mm-hmm.
especially in pediatrics, that's how we dose medicines.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid ate enough that it caused respiratory distress, ultimately cardiac dysfunction, and unfortunately death, mm-hmm. which is why it's so important that people who are going to recreationally or medicinally use marijuana or other drugs understand how important it is to keep it out of the reach of their children. And children need to know not to pick up a cup and drink out of it without permission. And most definitely, something that looks like candy should be put away. And children should know to ask before they eat a package.
I think those are great reminders of the things we can do. And that's a great lead. And I wanted to ask, I think sometimes it's so easy for us as community members to look at you all and your organizations and say, fix a problem. You all are the experts. You all have the money. You all have the manpower. Fix this. And that is true to a point. But I also think our community needs to have tools and work within itself to fix things. So, Dr. Abney, I hear that piece of parents educating about how to be safe around substances, if substances are either in your home, but also if you're visiting right. other people's homes. Dr. Navarro, what is your ask for our community? What can our community do while you're doing your great work?
Yeah, and I think this is a community issue. This is not going to, because at least for youth, they are with us for a portion of time, but they are in a whole bunch of other places for the majority of their time. I would very much echo that parents need to be aware and educate practically. This is not a judgment zone, at least mm-hmm. from our perspective. This is a education component. And they need to start early. if you think this is not an issue for you at the until your kid gets into middle school or high school, that's not correct for the exact reason that Dr. Abney just mentioned. And there's practical things that you can do to educate yourself how to do that. So attending the workshops that we provide in the school system, attending sessions in the health department, reaching out and figuring out what's available, demanding that there's some options also. You know, sometimes we want to hear from families and say, it would be great if we could have some so-and-so come out, and we do that. And so we're responsive to it. The other thing that I would say is number one person that kids listen to is their parents or their guardians. And I just don't want to de-emphasize that from parents. You have so much power. You have so much influence in your child. It's important that you talk about these issues as well, and you talk about them openly with your child early on. And then the other ask that I would have for our community is help us be engaged in the community. If you can come and volunteer in our schools, there's a lot of young people who need mentors. Mm-hmm. And we would love to have community members do so. In our website, there is a tab that says Partners in Education. You can partner with us. You can volunteer. We're going to do a big social media campaign to re-engage more of our community because sometimes a good mentor helps young people make better decisions, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Thank you. Sheriff Barry, what do you want our community to do to help support the work that you're doing?
Again, it's about having some conversations to Dr. Abney's point and what she brought up in reference to having edibles in the house and being aware of young people in the household. But I'm going to kind of go towards the middle school and high school students in reference to what we're seeing on the streets in reference to prevention of young people choosing to be involved in the selling of illicit drugs. Mm-hmm. We're seeing violence from that, mm-hmm, and that's very problematic. One of the unintended consequences in reference to the decriminalization and the legalization of marijuana, we're seeing more violence, shootings and assaults as a result of individuals either purchasing illicit drugs or choosing to sell illicit drugs. And we're talking about 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm, 16, 17 year old young people being engaged in this activity, and it's they're being assaulted, they're being robbed. And unfortunately, we have had some young people in our community lose their lives. So to Dr. Navarro's point, I think parents and guardians need to have a conversation with their young people about responsible activity to be engaged in, because unfortunately we're seeing in our region, we're seeing in our nation, unfortunately, that youth-related violence, it's at an epidemic. Mm. And we're managing it in Charles County, but it's all hands on deck at this point, where we need to have frank conversations about awareness of drugs and being more responsible about our activities, not only in the school system, but also outside the school system.
Thank you. Please.
So jumping on what the sheriff said, that means the whole community needs to be involved. That means that we need to have some things for children to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ways to get to and from those activities. And they need to be activities that are fun, but also teach good citizenship, mm-hmm, also teach good values. Right. Because I'm sure the parents are trying to teach those things at home, but there is so much bombarding our children. We thought there was a lot bombarding, mm-hmm, us to pull us in the wrong direction when we were growing up, but there is so much bombarding our children these days. So what we need to do as a community, because I think we're talking about that also, not just what the three of us are doing,
of course,
is we need to find things that can occupy our, mm-hmm, children that are healthy, that are safe, and that teach them the same things we're trying to teach them in school, through the health department, through the sheriff department, that the parents are trying to teach them at home, so that they're not tempted by those other things. So that means things like more clubs for kids to go to, more Girl Scout troops, Boy Scout troops, some Boys and Girls Clubs, some walkable sidewalks so that they can get to places, more crosswalks across 301, anything that we can think of to do as a community to give our kids something to do on Saturdays and after school so they're not listening to that siren that is pulling them toward those activities that lead to things that we don't want to see for our children.
And that's that one more that layer of insulation.
One more layer of insulation. That's exactly what we're all talking about.
Dr. Abney, what's one thing that you want to leave as the final word in this conversation? I think, you know, we put out interviews like this and we hope that people remember everything, but we know that sometimes it's a lot of information. So what's your takeaway? What do you want our viewers and listeners to get?
So my big takeaway is that we need to make sure that our children understand what the risks are and that we provide them with the information, not only to know those risks, but to resist those risks. Mm. To say, you know, it's a sort of a keyword, just say no, but actually to be able to say, no, I don't want to do that. I have something else to do with my time and my life.
Awesome. Thank you. Dr. Navarro, what would you like our listeners and our viewers to take away from this?
You know, I work with youth because youth keeps you young, and they are funny, they're smart, and they bring me joy and hope for the future. Yeah. And while we are having some challenges, I don't think anybody really needs to walk away from this conversation not feeling like they don't have power. Mm. So my takeaway is, if you are a parent or guardian, you have immense influence and power. And having those what may feel at first as awkward conversations and continuous conversations need to happen, because kids are listening to you at all ages. And I think that's important. And if you don't have children, school-age children, I would implore you to think about ways, again, that you can participate in our schools and mentor. You will meet 28,000 fabulous, fabulous young people that I get to see every day.
That's beautiful. Thank you. 28,000. It's a lot of young people.
It's
in
only
Charles
a couple
County.
To count.
Sheriff Barry, what is one thing you'd like to leave that you hope people will take away from this conversation?
I think this is a conversation and a step in the right direction. I think we need to collaborate and have a conversation not only with our community leaders or our elected officials, but to the point that Dr. Navarro talked about, and also Dr. Abney, is that we need to hear parent involvement, have parent involvement and parent engagement in reference to these issues. And it talks about bringing various amenities to the community to support the school systems, support what the health department is teaching, support some of the programs the sheriff's office is teaching. So that we, as a good, I was always told about a good teacher or good instructor, for our young people, we have to keep repeating until learning takes place. So if they're hearing it from the health department, they're hearing it from the school system, they're hearing it from the sheriff's office, they're hearing it from the parent and guardian, other resources that we have in the community, we want to just mitigate some of the issues that are facing our young people. So it's collectively parental and parental engagement and also guardian engagement. And let's roll up our sleeves, because Charles County has so much to be proud of. We have so many young people that are doing the correct thing. And I get a chance to go to all the schools and hear about it and see what they're doing. But we have a segment of young people that just need that little additional assistance. And that's what we're trying to do. Wrap our arms around them and support them and want them to be the best versions of themselves that they can be.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing this conversation and how we can, I'm going to use Dr. Abney's words again, how we can just provide that insulation to protect our community and help raise healthy, happy, and safe children. Thank you, Dr. Abney from the Health Department, Dr. Navarro from Charles County Public Schools, and Sheriff Barry from the Charles County Sheriff's Office for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to A Collaborative Response to a Community Issue, a conversation about how Charles County and its partners are responding to substance use in Charles County. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take care of yourself, take care of each other, stay safe, and stay engaged.